Morning comes from Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 1 and 2 is all we'll read for our opening. We'll pretty much go through most of this chapter, but we'll prepare our thoughts for our study this morning for the first two verses of Luke, the 15th chapter. I'll be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible this morning. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, if you kind of know what the context of this whole situation is, Jesus has been teaching throughout the countryside for a while, and here he is. Crowds are following him, and sinners start to follow him too. And the Pharisees didn't like that so much. We'll talk about that for a little bit. But as soon as he says, as soon as they say that, the Pharisees say that this man welcomes sinners and eats with them, Jesus tells them a series of parables. I really think it's not so much three separate parables, but one specific teaching on the value of one's soul. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. Now, we have heard over and lessons on this over and over, and we've heard and we'll go over it a little bit about how angels rejoice, when a sinner comes to repentance, and no doubt that's true. But I think that's a secondary point of what Jesus is trying to communicate. But before we go any further, we'll go to God in a word of prayer. So as I was saying before, this is a teaching, a passage of Scripture we're all very familiar with. And, if I were going to give a title to this lesson, I would call it The Value of One, which is the theme that is through all of three of these teachings, three of these parables that Jesus is teaching here. The first question I want to ask is, to dig into the text a little bit, why is Jesus having to make this teaching in the first place? I think that's any time we're studying anything in the Scriptures, one question that I feel like it's important to ask is, why is this written? Why is this included? Why is this here? Just very contextually speaking, the Pharisees' comment, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them," showed a disdain for the very people that Jesus came to save. And so with the teaching on the value of one, Jesus is trying to correct the values that the Pharisees have. That's the point of the teaching. So they didn't value, obviously, the souls of the sinners who were coming to Jesus. What they valued was their religious appearance. They didn't want to be seen with folks from the other side of the tracks, so to speak. They didn't want to, maybe have their reputation torn. I don't know what exactly the motivation was behind it. But it's summed up, Jesus sums it up in Matthew 23, 5 and 7, the attitude that they're exhibiting here. Other places as well, but we'll just read this passage of Scripture since it's just kind of a side point. "They do everything to be seen by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called rabbi by people." Anyway, they loved the praise of men, and they loved to be followed by men. That was their motivation. And so, but they wanted the praise of men as spiritual leaders. That was their motivation. And so to be seen with people who were openly, who we knew that they had a sinful lifestyle, or they knew that they had a sinful lifestyle, they really didn't want anything to be any part of it. Of course, there's all, you know, there's other things that, you know, I guess historically they've been, the religious elite have been known to utilize their power for monetary gain and things like that. But regardless of what their motivation behind it was, we know that the point is their values were not in the people. They did not value the souls of the individuals that were coming to Christ. And that is what Jesus is trying to convey to them, is the value of their souls. So what he starts to do, he uses three parables or three teachings that they could easily relate to point out to them where their values are. And by doing so, he doesn't say that values in these things are wrong. To have value or to hold value in these things, these what he's going to be teaching them about, are wrong. The question comes into the priority of the value. And so in Luke 15:3-7, I'll start in verse 4. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. And so Jesus in that day and age, a sheep could have been a valuable possession for somebody. I mean, it could have been an asset. You're a shepherd of the sheep. You can sell the sheep grow the wool. You shave it off. You sell the wool. Yada yada. In that day and age, it could be someone's livelihood or their, it could be something very valuable to them. We have a hard time relating to a lost sheep, though. Because a lost sheep to us doesn't, or maybe to me, I don't know. Like I can't speak for you, but for me, a lost sheep, my brain doesn't commute, or can't put the two together in my mind. Right? It doesn't mean anything personal to me. But have we all been a victim of a lost pet before? We've lost a dog, I wouldn't cry that much over a lost cat personally. That's just me. But something happened. You've lost your pet. And you always see on movies or whatever. Maybe you've seen, I've never actually seen a poster for a lost animal, but perhaps you have, a reward, missing cat, or missing dog or whatever. Or the sorrow you feel when a pet dies. I think we've all, had that experience if we've had a pet. So we can understand the value of that. And this is what Jesus is trying to communicate to them. He's like, you place value in an animal. How much more value does a soul have than an animal? So moving on to his second teaching, Luke 15:8-10. Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin I lost." I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. So now he's talking about the value of money. Now, we don't carry coin purses around, but we carry wallets around with us. You know, when's the last time? So a lost coin, maybe we can't really relate to. But have you ever lost, not that many people these days use them. Maybe some, I still do. But a checkbook. Lost a checkbook. You've lost your checks. And you think that, oh no, what if someone has stolen my checks and has access to my bank account information? Or maybe you've lost your debit card. You left it in the ATM, or you left it someplace. Oh no, I've lost my debit. I've done that plenty of times. Just left it in the ATM. I can't find it. I'm freaking out. I'm on my phone checking my bank account like every 10 minutes just to make sure that everything is still there. Or what about this one? You're at the drive-thru at Taco Bell or someplace, and you're getting a variety of things on the dollar menu. And when you drive off, maybe you don't notice it right away, but there's an item missing from your order. That's $1 or $2 or whatever it is. And you whip around and go right back to it, or maybe you're too far gone and you're so flustered and you're just like, they jipped me out of my $1 or $2 or whatever it is. What Jesus is doing here is he's saying you have value, you place so much personal importance and so much emotional energy into your money, into your possessions, into your animals. How much more important is a sinner who repents? What Jesus is doing in each of these is he's building familiarity with his audience. He's connecting with them. He knows what their personal attachments are. And he's using these to create a spiritual teaching or to illustrate a spiritual teaching. Luke 15, 11 through 31, we won't read all of it, but has the parable of the lost son. I feel like each time he's upping the ante. You know, we've lost a pet or an animal. Maybe we've lost a dollar or two at the Taco Bell drive-thru. They're notorious for getting your order wrong. I don't know what it is about Taco Bells and that, but whatever. But now, he's upping the ante to our family. The parable of a lost son. And what that is like. Verse 11, he also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. I try to put myself in the shoes of the father figure in this parable. We've known, we've had friends and acquaintances that have lost infants to different illnesses, just tragic things like that. I had a friend of mine in high school, freak accident, but was killed in some sort of some vehicle accident. So just a freak thing like that. You know, we lose friends and that affects us. I try to put myself mentally in the position of this father, losing, essentially, estranging one of my children who just runs off. And this is not like any day and age. I mean, like it's of course it's a parable, right? It's a fictitious story to prove a point, but even so, it's not as if, you know, there was the son could have updated his Facebook status to something, or, you know, could have shot someone a text or anything like that. You have to understand, when this son ran away from his father had essentially no way of communicating with him. Or vice versa, is his son with them. So for all intents and purposes, you know, when he tells his other son, for your brother was dead and is now alive again, as far as he knew, probably was. He had no way of knowing. You know, there have been times, you know, when we were, you know, with our kids at a park or a store or whatever, in those split seconds where, you know, they run behind you and they're in your blind spot and you can't see them, and I freak out for a second, like, where's my kid? You know, you hear stories about Amber Alerts going on, and you see the missing child posters and things like that. I cannot imagine being in that kind of a position and not knowing where my child is. Jesus is really upping the ante here by really tugging those heartstrings. And then the story takes the turn where the father and the son are reunited. Now, as a parent, I cannot imagine being estranged from my kids for a long period of time, or them just being gone. But I also have to think about, what in the world was the emotional state? What would it be to be reunited with them? After not knowing where they are for years, could be dead for all they know. And then, in the distance, you see them coming home. I can't imagine what that's like. Jesus is in essence saying, that joy that a father would feel for being reunited with his son, the feeling that you would have being reunited with your lost son or daughter, is greater or the joy that God has when he reunites with his creation is greater than any joy we could experience being reunited with our son or our daughter. Now imagine that. He goes through all this teaching. He teaches about one lost sheep, one lost coin, one lost son, one lost child being reunited versus the value of one soul. And he goes through all of these teachings that heaven rejoices when one soul repents. And as I said earlier, that's a secondary point to what he was teaching. The primary point, I believe, in this teaching is an unasked question. Do you? Do you value? And that was his, that's in essence his question to the Pharisees that were questioning him. As heaven rejoices when one sinner repents, as God values that soul, do you? There's also another point hidden in here. As fervently as the man who lost a sheep searches, pursues the sheep, the woman who lost the coin pursues the coin, just as the man who lost his son saw him in a distance and ran toward him and pursued his son, God is pursuing us. And that is possibly the greatest teaching. And see, that's something that the Pharisees and scribes had forgotten. Is that they had become comfortable in their perceived relationship with God. I mean, Jesus told them that you really don't know God. But regardless, they had gotten complacent and comfortable in what they thought their relationship with God was. And they had forgotten about the value of the soul. They had forgotten that God pursued them. And do we realize that God pursues the lost just as he pursued us and continues to want that relationship with us? Have we forgotten that we once too were lost and have become numb to the message of Christ? That's the point of the parable. That's the teaching of the value of one. So I'll leave you with this. Jesus says in Mark 16 and 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. When it comes to us and our passionate pursuit of our relationship with God, that goes hand in hand with a passionate pursuit with a relationship with other people. And pursuing the lost. If we are the body of Christ on earth, we will do as Christ did for us toward the lost. If Christ pursued us so passionately, then we in turn must pursue the lost. If we really believe and have value for one. So if you're here and you need to obey that gospel which Jesus spoke about, We set aside a time for you to do so. If you need to recommit yourself to Christ, we give you that opportunity as well. Well, it's Christ that gives you the opportunity. We just set aside time for it in our service. So if you need to do either one of those things, please come while we stand and while we sing.